This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. League of Legends patch 9.9 is almost here, and joining me to give a breakdown of the latest patch and other league news is Envin Global Esports reporter Nick Geraci. Thanks for joining me, Nick.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into esports?
I was freelancing some regular sports journalism. I used to write a lot about baseball, but I've always been into video games. And I saw a NALCS broadcast in 2014, and I kind of became a big fan of League of Legends esports and eventually other esports over the past couple of years, and eventually took that, my passion for esports, as well as my affinity towards and experience with journalism, and kind of combined the two together and started freelancing and writing about League of Legends, Overwatch, other esports. And for the last 5 months, I've been a full-time reporter and journalist with Envin Global, a company based out of Irvine, California. Yeah, couldn't be happier.
So I have to ask, what lane do you play?
I play mid lane. I like to play all the different roles to get a better idea of the game, but I'm definitely best at mid, and I'm terrible at jungle, which is unfortunate because I wanted to be better at it.
Everybody wants to do better at jungle. I think everybody's really bad at it.
Well, that makes me feel a little better then.
It's hard having that map awareness because you get so like, I need to get my gold, that you don't realize like, ooh, there's a lane that needs some help.
Yeah, you have to be a good big picture thinker for sure. And that's sometimes I get a little too focused in on, you know, winning my lane and kind of tunnel visioning on that. So
exactly.
Definitely something I have to look out for.
Yeah, I play top lane, so that's my little island up there. I don't leave it for a long time.
Oh yeah, no, the solo lane mindset is very lone wolf.
Yeah, isn't it? It's tough when I have to play support because I'm kind of good at support, but you have to remember not to be so aggressive, and that top lane mentality always gets me killed down there.
Yeah, it's very different having to share the lane with another person and be accommodating in ways of defense, but also offense. It's just a very different mentality. It's one of the things I like about League of Legends is that everybody's contributing to achieving the same goal on the map, but the way that the five roles play is just, it's very different in how they want to accomplish that.
League of Legends has an upcoming patch, 9.9. Do you know what characters are going to be nerfed in this patch?
Right, yes. So patch 9.9 is interesting because patch 9.9 is the patch that the 2019 midseason invitational will be played on. And because the reason why that's important even to the average player is because we're not seeing a ton of major sweeping changes, but rather little tiny tweaks and technical changes to a multitude of heroes. Namely, on this patch, we're seeing a nerf to Akali, who's been an absolute terror in both solo lanes, mid and top. Jarvan and Rek'Sai, who are pretty much the premier junglers right now. Jarvan has been a good jungler for longer than I can remember at this point, as well as we're seeing some changes and overall adjustments to other champions who either have gotten nerfed too far in the previous patches, like some of the adjustments to Aatrox are kind of more quality of life. And then we're also seeing overall the entire patch as a whole is kind of giving some benefits to champions that prefer sort of the tankier style of play or the more team fight style. We're seeing obviously carry champions that, you know, do damage are still very powerful, but we're kind of seeing a shift on this patch towards a more balanced style of gameplay.
Now, I've noticed that Akali, she's been getting hit with the nerf bat for a couple patches now. Do you think she was better off before she was reworked, or do you think they're just trying to get the kinks out now?
Absolutely not. I think that no matter how many nerfs that you put on this new Akali, I think she's always going to provide more value to the game than the old version did. I really believe that when Riot reworked Akali, they were trying to redefine how they want to approach the assassin class going forward. And I think that's shown in that she came out and she went after the rework, she was very overtuned. I thought she was very strong, and nerf after nerf, she still was very strong, because I think they're trying to figure out a more innovative, interactive way for assassins to interact with the rest of the game. In the past, assassins like Fizz and Zed and even LeBlanc would be more focused on just kind of jumping in, blowing up a champion, and then jumping out. And with Akali, you do see those types of windows, but it's a lot more interactive. And her using the shroud, her having all these different tools to weave in and out of fights, which makes for a very interactive experience for an assassin player. But also, as we've seen, it's been very difficult to balance. So I think while the nerfs have been frequent, they're completely justified. And I also don't think that, I think that she has too much innate value into her kit right now for the nerfs to completely ruin her. I think that you'll still be able to play Akali in your solo queue games and do just fine if you already were. I think that if you're, you know, a player who likes playing with their friends and utilizing team strategy is probably still a great pick. I don't think that, as long as you're keeping track of the nerfs, I don't think they're going to be something that is really, really damaging to her.
You know, I don't play mid lane, but when it comes to Akali, that is a mid laner. Does she still have those roaming capabilities?
Oh, big time. Just the amount of dashes that she gets through her ultimate and just the overall elusiveness that lends it to her kit really just make her one of the premier roaming threats in the game, I think. While she is a mid laner by design and kind of by trade as we know her, the way that she plays into a lot of the popular top lane matchups right now really does give her a chance to succeed in the top lane too. She's not going to do incredible against, you know, other tankier bruisers per se, but she can definitely take a free lane into tanks and just kind of farm up, sort of similar to mid lane before she gets the chance to roam. And she can even win a lot of the one-on-one carry matchups if people want to really duel you in that top lane.
That is true. I will give you that. Akali has really good early game, and she can really zone you out because in top lane, it's supposed to be nice and slow, and you ease into becoming powerful. But Akali, or any other mid laner who comes to top lane, it's just overpowered from the beginning, and it's a hard, hard carry just for yourself and to just survive throughout the match in the early match.
Right, which is why we've seen a lot more carry versus carry matchups to kind of equalize the advantages that, you know, traditionally damage-focused champions like Akali and Aurelia, who have the last year or so been more popular in mid lane, are making more of a transition to top lane. However, we're also seeing a bunch of champions from this patch like Maokai, who's one of the perennial tank champions in League of Legends for years now. Lissandra, who is a tanky team-fighting mage, is also going to have a significant impact given that she's already in the meta. She's already good, yeah. But she also got some buffs on this patch too. So I think what we're going to see is we're still going to see a lot of these carry champions. The carry style still be the most prevalent way to play the game. It's exciting to watch and exciting to play. But I think what we're going to see is people who prefer a more slow, methodical style or more of a tanky team-fighting style have a few more options to answer.
Now, when it comes to runes, are there any rune changes this patch?
Yes, yeah, there's a couple different ones. The one I wanted to talk about first, actually, which I think is very important, is the change to the magical footwear, which is the inspiration rune that gives you the free boost of speed. There's a magical boost, so you kind of save 300 gold doing that, which is really nice. Initially, you get them at 10 minutes, and with every kill that you got before 10 minutes, that timing was lowered by 30 seconds. And because of the popularity of this rune and how gold efficient it is, they made a very good change, which I think is they're going to be giving you the boost at 12 minutes, but now if you get kills beforehand, you get 45 seconds off the timer instead of 30. So if you want to get those boots quick, get roaming on those champions like Akali and whatnot, you are encouraged and rewarded for your early game aggression if you want to grab those boots quicker if you take that rune. In addition to that, we're also seeing Cheap Shot, which is a popular rune in the Domination tree, which is favored for a lot of assassins and high damage burst champions. The true damage has been increased, which is a good thing. We also have seen changes to Ghost Koro, which the rune that when your ward dies, a Ghost Koro is left behind to kind of watch the bush until a champion comes in there. So it's similar to the champions. It's very quality of life, very, very small technical moves that I think overall are going to add to a much healthier, more balanced gameplay for all types of classes. Champions and players.
What about any items? Any items changes this patch?
The only major change we have for an item is Monomune, which is a AD item that building out of Tear of the Goddess. It's very mana-focused. You see casters like Ezreal, who's a very popular champion. This item, which has kind of fallen out of favor even for the champions who like it, just got a physical damage buff from 25 all the way up to 35. So that's a significant increase, a 40% increase in damage. So I do think that where champions who usually build this item have shied away from it for superior options lately, we'll see it making kind of a comeback over the next couple weeks for champions who do benefit from that item. I think they're just trying to make it as valuable as the other Tier of the Goddess items that you can build, where it's kind of played second fiddle to the other options as of late.
Okay, so this is the best part for me, at least. I have to know, what do you think about Teemo changes? When's it going to happen, and do you think this is the right thing to do for Teemo?
Teemo is such an interesting subject because he's kind of popular for being known as a joke character, but at the same time, you know, there's been times where professional players have pulled him out, for example, and made it viable in a very unique situation. But anytime that's happened, he's been changed, really, is that we've only seen changes to bring Teemo out of a kind of a cheesy state in the game, you know? He's never really had his identity changed or even optimized for the modern state of the game. And so I think it's interesting that we're seeing these buffs come now, especially when we're now seeing overall more buffs to tank champions. Does that mean that we're going to try to see Teemo in his classic role of, you know, consistently winning lane and trying to win game off of that entirely? It really is going to depend entirely on where do we think that Timo can best abuse his newer advantages? So I think that we're probably still going to see him towards the top lane in patch 9.9. However, I'm not sure this is going to be the type of changes. They are incremental, nice changes, but they're not going to be something that I think turns him into the strongest champion in the game. I don't think you're going to see Timo, you know, giving you nightmares in solo queue over and over again any more than he already does, that is, of course. So I think that these are good changes. I think it's putting the champion in a slightly healthier state. But as far as everyone being annoyed by Timo, these changes are not what's going to change that. That's for sure.
I think everybody just likes that little Yordle. He's so annoying.
Yeah, no, my buddy plays a ton of him. I'm pretty used to it.
Oh, what about the newest support champion that just came out, Yumi? What do you think of her?
Yumi looks really interesting. We don't know a ton about her outside of, like, you know, her lore and her initial introduction and a couple of the basic things, but she really does seem to fall into the type of champion that really has done well in League of Legends lately, both from a gameplay and innovation perspective, but also from player base and you know, player base, like, satisfaction. Well, Zoe and Nico were very popular picks, and they have that kind of whimsical sort of, like, humanoid features, but also very still a creature, a lot of magic involved. I think that she's going to be really interesting, but I guess I would like to see, I'm most interested in if she can be flexed to other lanes. A lot of the times we'll see, especially when the support is kind of based on magic abilities, that when they come out initially, they might be stronger than we expect them as a support champion, and then they go straight up to, like, a mid or a top lane role, right? We've seen that before. So I think what's going to be interesting is how she directly influences the rest of the lanes and how, and whether she's going to kind of, like, break the meta or not. But I think it's too early to tell for right now.
Yeah, it's way too early, but I don't know. The whole innovation for when she attaches to other champions and buffs them up, that for me sounds like it's going to be a 4v5 where she will obviously need to be carried a little bit harder, but she may actually accentuate the 4 and you don't need her as a fighter. So that would be very interesting to see how the group fights would work.
For what it's worth, I think there's validity to this, but I think she's going to be the type of champion that if you're running a composition, like your whole team is kind of trying to play around one guy who carries the game. For example, let's say you have a lot of, like, supportive champions, then you have, like, a Master Yi in your jungle, and he's trying to, you know, get fed and carry the rest of the game for everybody. She may be a great enabler in those cases. However, I think that if you fall behind or your main source of power, the thing that she's supposed to be enabling and helping and attaching herself to isn't where it needs to be, she's going to have a lot of trouble finding value from behind just from that type of utility.
Yeah, I can see that. There's going to have to be a lot of coordination with her. If you can pull that off, that's going to be impressive because it looks really cool.
Exactly. That's kind of the thing that I really like about when Riot has been making these new champions over the last couple of years. They've been introducing new mechanics that are individually fun to play, but also are kind of subliminally teaching people how to, you know, use teamwork. They're like, oh, this is fun. I want to use this ability. But inherently, for the ability to be, you know, used properly or to get the most out of it, you're going to have to know how to coordinate with your teammates with this new unique skill that you have, because that's always going to be more powerful than you doing something on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited. Either way, I don't think I'm going to be very good with her. I don't think I don't have enough people that I could just, like, call into a group. So I don't think I'm going to have much fun with her, but I want to see the pros player. That's going to be a lot of fun right there.
Yeah, I definitely, I don't think that she's not going to be, unfortunately, she will not be enabled on the 9.9 patch for MSI. So as far as the midseason invitational tournament, I don't think we'll be seeing her, at least for the first round of that. But I think that you will see pros get a lot of time with her, and come when the professional leagues start in the summer, I think we'll see plenty of Yumi and plenty of interesting combinations, because nobody knows how to, you know, make synergy in a 5v5 like the pros do.
Absolutely. Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to talk about League of Legends. Really appreciate your time as well. So like I said, I'm a journalist for NVEN Global. I have an author page on there, but you can also follow me on Twitter. It's just my name, at Nick Geraci. That's where I usually post most of my content. So that's a good place to keep up with me if you're interested in some more pro League of Legends coverage. I do some game stuff, but mostly the esports. So what pros are doing, how pros are reacting to those game changes, and so on and so forth, kind of in that vein.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.